Okay, we'll call the April meeting of the Clark County Court to order. Stand with me if you would, just Sam Strange, who will lead us in the invocation.
Join me in prayer. Father, we're really grateful for the great people that we've got to work with in the county, people that are working tirelessly to try to meet the needs of the people in the community. We ask that you bless them, bless the people in the community, and help us to be successful in that task. God, we ask you to help us make wise decisions that are going to benefit not just our community, but our whole country and our families. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we may pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Roll call, please.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison. Coates.
Present.
Here.
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 Moss. Pearson.
Here.
Shaw.
Here.
Strain.
Here.
Fowler.
Here.
Jordy.
Here.
We do have a quorum present. Members of the court, if you would turn to tab number 1, you'll see the journal proceedings from March's meeting. What's your pleasure?
Make a motion to approve the journal.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Additions, deletions? Seeing none, all in favor of approval as presented, indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? There will be approved. Next, we have county officer's report. And county clerk's report is available as always. Treasurer's report.
You should have your report in your binders, and if you have any questions, I would be happy to have those addressed with Scott and get back to you.
Any questions? Next, our Sheriff Tim Miles. Would you have a report tonight?
I did, Judge.
Judge and court, it's good to see you guys. The stats for March 2025, our average headcount for Unit 1, our capacity is 118, as we know. And for March, we had 163. Average headcount for Unit 2 is 218, we had 142. Average headcount female, our capacity is 88, we had 76. Average headcount for juveniles is 16, and we had 10 for the month of March. The number of vacant positions in our detention officers is 6. What was 6? Our average ADC inmate housed last month was 47. That's pretty incredible to be down to 47. That's accolades to our staff over there and Captain Watkins, who was able to get these guys in and out and get them down to ADC and kind of knowing the right people to call and having a good rapport with those folks. For patrol, the number of calls to the FCSO was 2,026. The average calls of service per deputy was 68. Our number of violent crimes and domestics was 94. Number of thefts and criminal mischief, it was 52. We took 72 animal calls. Looks like there was only 6 animal citations, 1 animal warning. Our reserves, who's a tremendous help to us and is actually out right now, we're backing up the city. The city's on the call, and all their hands are on deck there, so we're kind of covering the city at this point. Reserves are out there as well. But their total hours for the month of March was 648 hours. CID, our assigned cases, was 48. Our closed cases was 25. Transport, our total trips was 91. Total of hours of 258. And then total miles was 11,620 at a cost of $14,197 in totality. This is new that we've started putting on here our extraditions. The Fauquier County Sheriff's Office, we did 2 extraditions in the month of March for at a cost of $5,180. And then we outsourced our extradition on 5 different transports at a total cost of $11,950. And Judge, that's my stats, my report for the Sheriff's Department, unless there's any questions.
Any questions for Sheriff Rollins?
Can I make that?
Yes.
Is it the nice weather? There's quite a jump on several of these areas. Looking at the number of calls, the total hours, total miles, is that typical in March, not having last year's data? Or, that's a 30-40% jump in several categories.
Which category we're talking about?
Well, I'm looking at total number of calls went from 1,400 in February to over 2,000. Animal calls went up, of course. That's been pretty there. But they look at total hours on transport and total miles. I was just curious.
I can't explain what the jump is. There's no way of determining that. Weather is always a factor in the springtime. Our numbers, I think, typically do rise. I know we have a lot of calls during the spring when everybody, kind of like a cool morning for a horse, feeling his oats. You know, so.
All right, thank you.
Just real quick, how do you define a trip in the transport category?
Well, a trip in a category would be either going from here to the prison to pick up an inmate to bring them back, or delivering an inmate from here to the penitentiary, one of the penitentiaries, wherever that's at, okay. Or potentially a court. So
that's what I was going to ask. Does that include like transport from the county facility to a courtroom, or from Unit 1, or is it just transporting people to prisons?
You know, I think that that's probably just prisons on our transport. That's a good question. I don't know if they calculate the distance between Unit 2
right.
and the district court building over here where we transport back. I don't know if that's calculated in there. If it is, it would be very minimal on that. Anytime we have an inmate who potentially has a court in another jurisdiction outside our county, typically, they would be responsible for coming and retrieving that inmate. Their transport would be the ones to come and get this inmate and take it to that court and then bring them back if we happen to be housing them or we're holding them on charges, but they have charges as well and have a court date, for the inmate.
Would the inverse be true where another county is holding someone who's due in court here, we have to go get them?
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for Sheriff Rollins? Sheriff, thank you.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you, Court.
As always. Okay, still in tab number 2, let's go to County Administrator Reports. Mr. Higgins.
Good evening. If you'll turn past the sheriff's report, the next report will be the coroner's report that we started in January. I mentioned in January that those numbers were just numbers. They really weren't telling us anything. Now that we're actually a quarter in, that we're 3 months in, you start to see a little bit of trending over a three-month period of activity. You know, a couple of things that popped out to me when I was reviewing this towards the bottom, the number of calls that come in the daytime for the quarter and the number of calls that come in the nighttime, you know, well over 50%. In this case, with 113 of them, looks like closer to 60% are actually after hours. So that just lets you know the coroner is up all hours of the night responding to calls. I guess people get tired from work, go home, and, you know, dine at home. I don't know, but a lot of activity at night that happens. So as we get further into the year, since this is the first time we're seeing this, I think we'll start seeing a trend on what this is telling us going forward. Any questions on the coroner's report? All right, I have a quarterly VSO report. There's one page after that that's in there. The highlighted in orange or yellow, whatever, that is when Terry actually started work. So that's when we brought him on board. And really, again, another set of numbers, but one thing that I found interesting, if you look at the total numbers for 2023, and then you look for the whole year for 12 months, and then you look at the total number just for the first 3 months of 2025, so that'd be the bottom there. We have actually exceeded in the first 3 months of this year all the activity of 2023. That just goes to show our team is doing a good job. We're making more contact with people. It's being well received in the community. If you ever go over to the VSO, I know what Terry and Andy's truck, what their vehicles look like. And if there is a vehicle in the front of the building, I won't go in because I don't want to interrupt. Because a lot of times they're dealing with private information and all that kind of stuff. So I don't like, because when I walk in, they all stop. And it just stops productivity. My point is, there are times I need to go over to talk business to Terry and them, and there's always a vehicle there. And I never get to go in. So finally, I just text him, like, when you get caught up, come see me. And about 4 or 5 days later, he shows up in my office. That just shows how busy they are. So everyone to brag on the VSO. That's really a success story that all of you guys had a big part of. Nick, I just want to share an activity that happened this month. This is not one that I've reported on before, but we had a multi-agency effort that occurred actually yesterday. We've known about it a little bit. We had a gentleman, I won't get into personal details, but we had a gentleman from Valonia that came missing in Logan County. And back in March, early part of March, and they have been searching for this gentleman with no success. So Logan County is a small county, doesn't have a lot of resources, so they reached out to surrounding counties and Faulkner County, since the missing person is from Faulkner County. So they had 45 people show up yesterday to do another search. This is like the fourth search that they're going to try to find this gentleman that is missing. We had several from the sheriff's office go, 6 members of the emergency squad, both our director and assistant director from OEM. And then over the weekend, the reserves went out there with their drone to do a search of the area, do an aerial search. Unfortunately, they were unsuccessful. But just did kind of want to let you know that there are times when we actually work outside the county to help serve our residents in our county. And the family had requested this, and so we got involved in the middle of that. Christian, if you would just pop up the next slide there. I want to talk a little bit about our water, high water issues a couple of weeks ago. The first thing I wanted to mention is we the county, along with the other agencies, produced over 4,000 sandbags in about a 48-hour period, and that was chunking them out pretty quick. This is the first opportunity that we got to use our new sandbag equipment that we purchased, not purchased, that was donated to us back late last summer. And so we've been, we gave units to the city of Greenbrier, city of Mayflower, Valonia, and Conway, and we kept 2 of the units. So we use one, and then we have one as a spare. That actually came in handy. Conway's had a switch go out on theirs, and we transported our spare over there. And then about the time we got it all set up, they were able to fix the other one, and so they just ran both of them there. But between all of these, we produced over 4,000 sandbags. The road department had a dump truck going up to all of these locations. They would dump a load of sand at OEM, then they'd run down to Greenbrier, dump a load of sand, then they'd run to Mayflower, dump a load of sand, and by the time they did that, we needed another load at OEM. So a lot of activity doing that. If you go ahead and go to the next slide, that's Larry and Deputy Kelly. They're standing in front of one of the machines. We had some 309s that came out and helped early on prior to the storms to start building our inventory of sandbags, but we could tell pretty quick that we were not able to keep up. The cars were lined up at OEM before the first raindrop ever hit. So people wanting sandbags. We had to limit them to a dozen sandbags to start off with so that we just didn't get them out the first two or three pickup truck loads. Eventually, we were able to get ahead of the game and make it work. The district judges, I don't know if y'all saw that on social media, but we contacted them, and they were able to put out the word that if you wanted to serve your community service time sentence that you had, making sandbags. So they sent about 30 people out there. They did a fantastic job. Well, we could not have done it without their help, and so they helped with the sandbags. Next slide, Kristen. Had the road department out there helping us with it. The machines are pretty cool. I'll just give you a quick overview. Our old machines were very manual. You put the sand in the top, and then it comes out the bottom, except when it's clogged up, or except when it's wet, except when it binds, and then somebody's got to climb up there with a broom and hammer down on it and beat on it, and it's pretty manpower intensive. These machines have a corkscrew that go inside the sand, and they can go forward, and they can go backwards, so we can do it that way, and then it has a pneumatic vibrator, so we can have the corkscrew going, and then it's vibrating, and it has a foot-controlled control for the, what's that thing called? I guess the gate that lets the sand out. So you put the bag up under there, hit it, it opens it up, drops the sand in, you let it off, set it there, somebody puts a staple on it, somebody else picks it, hauls it off, you got the next sandbag going. It's a pretty cool setup. Justice Kendrick, I remember when you and I were making in 2019, Justice Boyer was holding a bag while we had a shovel. Yeah, so we...
This is better than a shovel.
Yes, it is better than a shovel. And it's faster, too. So anyway, a good opportunity there. Let me see. I think that is the end of my report. Judge, there was something about the floods. I think you wanted to comment on the next slide. Christian, if you'll go to that.
Yeah, by the way, if you turn the TV on, you see around the state of country, there are still folks having to use shovels. When I saw that this day. So really, not only is it easier to load them, you load them a lot faster, and you've got a lot fewer injuries, and so that really worked well, I think, around the camera. Really proud of that, pleased with that. Not nearly as pleased as I am of our people wearing black and tan. If you will go to the next slide, Kristen, you'll see a close-up of this shot. Your patrol deputy, Stephen Canino, is standing waist-deep. I asked the chief, sheriff, how far out that was, and I said, it looked to me like a couple hundred yards. He said, well, at least 100. And friends, that is not calm water. That flowing water on Clinton Mountain Road. I want you to know his name is Stephen Canino. He arrived on scene. Emergency squad was paged out. I think others were paged out, and they were en route. Matter of fact, I was en route with them. I was there at the EOC when that page came through at our temporary EOC. And before the water rescue could get there, before that team could get there, which they were there on scene at OEM at the road shop, they were headed out with no delay. Deputy Canino noticed that vehicle started washing off the road. You can see it there. It's sideways with the road. If you go back a slide, Kristen, you're looking down the road at that motorist who made a poor decision to try to go through there, flooded their vehicle out, and were trapped. When Deputy Canino saw that vehicle start to wash across the road, he was on the phone with Chief Woolley at the time and said, Chief, I'm going to have to go out there and get him. Chief Woolley's like, whoa, you got a safety line? I mean, he was en route as well, and Deputy Canino said, there's nowhere to tie off to. I mean, it's a big open area, and Deputy Canino marched out across there. You can kind of see the water flowing there if you look at various places. You should have a great deal of pride in that gentleman right there, Sheriff's entire operation. We will never know if he saved that life or not. That vehicle could very well wash away. The people could have panicked and gotten out and been washed away and drowned. And they walk freely in good health today because of Deputy Stephen Camino. I want you to all know his name. His decision to set foot in that flowing water was the stuff of him. It's heroic. When he said, my personal safety is secondary to the safety of the people in that truck right there, he became a hero. He walked out there and ended up, he made it and walked them back out. I don't know if they could have made it without him or not. But I sent him a card and said, that decision was heroic. Your actions were heroic. And you are a hero, period. I hope you share that same sense of pride that I have in Deputy Stephen Camino. And so, anyway, I asked the sheriff, they're going to do their appropriate recognition internally. We didn't want to step on his toes here tonight. But he said, by all means, please do, say a few words, have at it, do whatever you're going to do. And I thought you would appreciate knowing that one of your deputies did that. And I wanted you to know his name. And so that's really why I'm repeating his name over and over. Stephen Camino. I don't even know if he's married, got kids. I have no idea. But he set all that aside for the badge that he was wearing for a Fulton County citizen in that truck. And so, Sheriff, I appreciate you and I appreciate Deputy Camino.
Judge,
if you want to say a few words, feel free. I don't want to get in the way of what you guys are going to do for Deputy Camino.
Well, thank you so much for the recognition of Deputy Camino.
He is a great officer. I do not want to ever diminish or enlighten or delight anything that's been of what you're saying here. That's an amazing accomplishment that was caught on film. This particular one happened to be caught on film. This happens every day with the Sheriff's Department, with a lot more deputies, a lot of other deputies. But this one was caught, and you can see that one right there brings tears to my eyes of him going out there, because I've been in that type of water and what the capabilities of it doing is. Thank you so much for recognizing him, and we will be recognizing him and honoring him moving forward as well. So internally.
You join me in thanking him. And for Sheriff Shock, just as Shock, I'll call you in just a second. But really, to me, there's all sorts of social media coverage and all sorts of media coverage, and nowhere in any of that coverage did I see the name Patrol Deputy Stephen Camino of the Fauquier County Sheriff's Office. And so the moment, I noticed that was the case, I knew we had to do something in our court meeting to draw attention to our wonderful employees. Now, hero in my eyes, I hope to share my view. But you never know, like Sheriff said, I don't know if you've ever been in flowing water that's very deep, but you lose control rapidly, and the water doesn't have to be going a mile an hour for you to lose your footing. But if you've ever stepped into a creek and been washed downstream with much less water than that, I know I have. And, I've never been a law enforcement officer or first responder, but when they put that badge on, this has to be the reason. It goes through their head repeatedly. There may be an instant when I have to make that decision where, there's no time for a safety line. And I know that when Chief Woolley, Sheriff, was describing to me, he was like, when he told me that, everything in my brain as Chief Deputy of the Fauquier County Sheriff's Office would have told him, you cannot go out there. But I knew that I would not be able to stop him. I wanted us to all be familiar. He's not the only hero. Stuff like this is why they do what they do. but this is one that was documented, and I don't even know the conviction, Sheriff, but
yeah,
I'm glad they did. Glad they did. Former Sheriff Shaw.
Yeah, well, I would just like to point out, this is what they call Blue Bottoms. I grew up 2 miles from where this happened, so I know exactly where this is. And I would also like to point out that probably a stone's throw away from exactly where this truck is the Cabin Creek. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some trees there, but it's right there beside the Cabin Creek.
Mm-hmm. Probably so, saying you tense up when you
very much
heard
so.
About it and you saw that picture.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for that commentary. And it happened on Clinton Mountain Road, and I have to say, you know, this driver made a poor decision. But we see this repeatedly in several areas that tend to flood, that are, you just cannot build a road up high enough. You can't put enough bridging over it. It's just impractical. You'd have to build a mile-long viaduct. It's just not feasible. But, you know, we put barricades up. Our fire department supports us. Our road department supports us. The sheriff's office, you know, the sheriff's department supports barricading roads, and you know, from time to time you'll get someone drive around, and there are rescues. I don't know, between Sheriff Riles and Sheriff Shock, how many times do you figure there's been water rescues at that road in the last, say, 10 years? I know Chief Hillman told me he'd probably been on a half dozen at that location.
I was going to say probably around 5 or 6, 7.
That area historically, if you get very much rain at all, that area will flood a lot like that.
It's textbook. It just comes up in her.
That road and Bayou Road, which is not very far from that, flood
partly. So those two roads, Clinton Mountain Road, Bayou Road,
Springfield Road,
Springfield,
is that three in the last few months?
You know, they will come up in a hurry. And I would just urge our citizens and urge you to urge your constituents and citizens, anyone watching live stream, you know, don't ever drive into water that you can't see the bottom of. In other words, you know, 2, 3, 4 inches, don't ever, I think they say 6 inches can float certain vehicles away. With a pickup like that, the rear end is a lot lighter than the front end, and once the rear end goes, that's it. It doesn't matter whether the front end has traction or not. And so, when drivers do that, they put people like Deputy Stephen Canino's life in danger, and his loved ones, rest of their lives with him. So I would encourage our viewers, don't ever drive into water. Don't ever drive into water. Don't ever drive around our barricades. If we ever catch anyone throwing our barricades off the road like they've done at times in the past, I'll ask the sheriff, prosecuting attorney, to charge them with every possible charge. Because someone can die. Someone who drives into water at night or whenever, when there's no barricade there because someone removed it, then your criminal charges that doesn't even count the civil costs that they'll have to deal with in the suit. Somebody losing their loved one. So let's all advise our folks, let's just, you know, use good common sense. Drive around, my goodness. Deputy Stephen Canino.
Thank you again, Judge.
Look forward to shaking his hand, for sure. On the flooding, you know, we really, I think, used all 9 lives that we had with that 4-day weather event. We did get all the rain they predicted. They were spot on. Except we're going to get 10, 15 inches of rain, and in Faulkner County, there have been accounts from 8 to more than 12, depending on where you're at in the county. We got every bit of it. We benefited from several things. One, we didn't get any tornadoes. We hate that they went elsewhere. Our thoughts and prayers are with those counties and states that got the tornadoes. We're thankful, certainly, not to have any here. Then we dealt with you know, the wind was not too much of an issue, which was really a blessing because we had everything saturated, all the roots, all the trees and root balls were in saturated ground. We lost a few trees. Flash flooding damaged some roads. nothing that we can't fix. Probably already got most of it fixed now. We washed out shoulders. We lost one culvert. Floated up, washed off. That's been repaired. The flash flooding was not as bad as it could have been with those volumes of rain. We really benefited from breaks in the rain. Seemed like we get the rain sometime every day, the next day, and water had time to go out. All of our channels and streams and creeks of any size were way down, including the Arkansas River, Cadron, and all the Lauren Creek, Tupelo Bayou, and all those areas were really low, and their capacity to carry water we knew was there, but I think surprised almost all observers that they could carry it for 2 days and two heavy rains, and they did. I really thought that the second day we were going to start seeing it come up. They really evacuated the water better than most commenters and observers thought they would. And then the third day, it really caught up with us. We started to see flashing. The sandbagging operations worked really, really well. The planning and the prep for all of that went really smoothly, really proud of Randy and Tom, their organizations, all cities, everyone. Really benefited from some good forecasting, and in addition to planning and prep, the operations and the coordination, communication, collaboration across departments within county government and across local governments was really good. I think you all saw that unfold. We're observers, right? We're a four-day observer of this weather event, and I couldn't be more proud of everything here at the county. Certainly everything, the judges' organization, the sheriff's department, everything from the emergency squad, the reserve program, and the sheriff's reserve program, the cities, everyone did a really, really good job. Makes me proud to live in Buffalo County, Arkansas, for sure. Then lastly, what's the flashing? Well, I would say the fourth day, we woke up to a starkly revised upward Arkansas River crest forecast for Totsa Pool, which is the dam southward, which is different than the dam northward. And the Cadron sort of pool is impacted by the river being high there, which has its own set of problems. That pool was okay because we hadn't had rain west. But from the Totsa Pool, they revised it upward by feet. And got everyone's attention. I started getting phone calls from farmers first thing when that revision happened Saturday morning, literally Saturday morning, and sent all the farmers scrambling to get their pumps up and all their equipment and cattle removed. Fortunately, that forecasted crest was revised downward around noon-ish a couple of times, beginning around noon, and they finally settled in on a forecasted 275 feet or so, and that's exactly where it hit, 275.14, I believe, which is within a foot of our roads that begin to be impacted. So we know now around 276 feet is when that's going to be. You're going to see Jones Road west of Mayflower and south of Totsa, east of, I guess, Lawley Central, go underwater. I know Tom can talk to us about the 2019 flood and the impacts on that neighborhood. But I discussed with Tom that we're going to put some high water witness marks and monuments in a couple of key locations that will survive past my administration, and probably all of us in this room will be able to know. When it's 275.14, here is where the water is at this location. We mark those high water marks temporarily, and we'll put some permanent markers there, and we'll make that a practice with high water periods with the river. And so I think with that, Randy, do you have any more with the county administrator report?
No, sir. Not unless you have any questions.
Any questions for Administrator Higgins? So next we'll go to the FP and road administrator, and I think Tom's probably going to touch on the flood some more. I don't know if you've got your ARP report first, Tom, or what. So
we'll start with ARP. If you'll turn to page 2. Just touching on the emergency communications, that is complete, and we have received all the bills that we expect on that project. And that was for the all the fire departments that we gave new communications equipment to. Next item of note is page 4. The protection equipment for the volunteer fire departments, that's underway. We have a lot of items back ordered. The vendors have been pretty good about getting the things they say they're going to get when they're going to get them, so we're not worried about that expenditure being late as far as trying to spend the money. That should be spent, I believe, at the end of this year. You'll notice on page 5, the animal shelter is open, but we haven't marked that complete because we still expect a few more bills to come in from the construction and outfitting of the building. Next page, page 6, Mayflower wastewater. We're still getting engineering money. Our bills come in for that project. We still believe they're going to be able to spend their money as well. Lake Conway Community Wastewater Utility right below it, they're still waiting on parts. They hope to be finished at the end of this year. That concludes my ARP report, subject to any questions.
Any questions?
Yes, ma'am.
You may touch.
Yes, just slightly.
I may be missing something. I just want to check. So I'm looking at the 100% complete projects, and if my math is right, there's roughly $750,000 that is, I guess, is remaining. Is that redistributed to other projects or can it be, or is that just an anomaly?
The ones that were completed prior to the budget season last year were reappropriated.
Okay.
They left over. Anything that's going to be complete with leftover after the first of the year. If you remember, we had two areas. One of them was the jail we'll send the money to for the lost revenue, and the other is the Conway Corp water treatment.
Okay, thank you.
Just to follow up on that, you mentioned that the emergency communications grant was complete. So will that be completed with remaining almost $100,000 unspent?
There will be some, yes. Okay. That's correct.
Further questions?
No. All right, the road report, next page. We've asphalted 3 miles of road since the last report. We're currently on Shawbridge Road asphalting. I was out there yesterday. And I didn't make it today, but they'd be close to getting finished unless they had problems with it today. The western mile and a half or so, we intend to put Cape Seal. That's that new pavement treatment process that we tried last year. So if you see us stopping part of the way toward the county line on Shaw Bridge, that's why. Now to the flood and the weather event. We activated our emergency ops on Wednesday and worked through Saturday, not with everybody. We scaled back as we needed to. What we do mostly in this event is trees that have blown over, culverts that are blown out, roads that are washed out. We'll repair those. Ahead of the storm, we make sure that we have barricades distributed throughout the county with the fire departments. Those stay there most all the time. We have to replenish them some because, as the judge said, something I want to talk about. People actually move those out of the way so that they can go through. I'm not saying that's what happened in the picture up there, but people just aren't very smart sometimes. Those are there for the reason of saving lives, and people disregard those. So I'd like to implore the public, if you see a barricade, and the cliche phrase that we hear is, turn around, don't drown. It sounds kind of silly to some people, but it's real. And I would ask that you would have a chance to talk to your folks, reiterate that, and ask them, respect our barriers and our safety. With that, subject questions, that's my report on the road, Your Honor.
Any questions? Justice Meeks.
Thank you, Judge. Have we looked into, with technology today, cell towers, cameras, and stuff like that, have we looked into how much it would cost to maybe put a camera on those barricades to maybe catch some folks doing those types of things?
We had talked about getting cameras throughout the county, not specifically on those. That would be easy to do, but we haven't yet.
Yeah, if we could, I mean, again, we could just look at the cost. It may not be worth the investment versus Obviously, with people, if, you know, their lives are priceless, but, you know, if it seems to be too much of a cost, then we can balance that out. But I would like to see us at least take a look that we can use that for barricades and then potentially for other purposes. Thank you, Judge.
Sure. Thank you. That's something we'll be happy to look at. Obviously, we would work with the Sheriff's Department to coordinate how to make that happen. Because the goal would be to have admissible evidence and, they have game jams everywhere. I mean, you get a ballpark about probably 12 varieties of that. And we've got a few cameras we use. Actually, we purchased them Solar Eclipse, I think, and we deploy them from time to time for various reasons, none of which are law enforcement related. It's a serious issue. Nothing's off the table. We've even considered, I don't know if anybody driven down to South Nottingham, South German and Conway, they have hermit gates, and city will come in and close those. We're entertaining thoughts of doing that on a few roads that are problematic. Our willingness is there to look at that, but then the closer you look, it's not without downsides. Like response time elsewhere, first responder's got to stop and, there's a lockbox and keys, the fireman, law enforcement are used to having access to, but you're talking about response time there. Or if there's a water rescue in there, or if somebody runs into them and is maimed, it's not without cost. But we're looking at alternatives, for sure. Some of our locations. In fact, OEM Director Hillman has provided Randy and me with a list of roads. I don't think I've shared that with Tom yet, of candidates for that. And we were not hesitant to have the zero tolerance policy when the sheriff and prosecutor were completely on board with the zero tolerance policy with Burnback, which they all really should be, but we understand their issues with somebody not knowing, but there was no way people didn't know it was Burnback. And so we implemented a zero tolerance policy. The Sheriff's Department went out there and wrote a gob of tickets and heard all kinds of good reasons why this fire got out of control, or they did this fire yesterday and somehow whipped up with wind. Well, 30 mile an hour wind will do that with numbers. It's exactly why we have burn pits. And when I became aware of the first fireman going to the hospital because of that, that's when we started down that path. I appreciate Sheriff being willing to do that. It's not the easiest thing in the world. Roll up and say, hey, I'm going to get a ticket for that fire right there. Somebody called in. But I mean, lives are at risk. And it's the same thing with moving barricades. So anyway. Yeah, everything's on the table kind of early in that process. That's a good question. Good question. Any other questions?
Judge, if I may. Sorry, comment. I've got the privilege of, I think it was a Saturday at the 4-day weather event, to be around OEM and road department throughout that time. And what I saw was excellent preparation. While I'm grateful that nothing happened in our county, we were spared. Because we know Pulaski County, Saline County, we're not, and other counties. Fully confident that if we'd had an event here, we got the people resources to take care of that. And that's a really safe feeling to operate in. When I can tell our constituents that if something was to happen, whether it be criminal, whether it be sheriff's department, whether it be weather event, that I fully believe we're fine. Just because the people run that. And so I'm grateful that we operate within that, and I just appreciate involved in that 4-day weather event, because what I saw, there was nothing easy about it. There was a certain synergy to pull it off, and from the head to the all the way down, I just think you guys are great, and I appreciate that, and I don't think that's said enough, because we could be operating under something less, and we get the privilege of operating under really high level leadership. So I just appreciate that.
Thank you for those comments, Justice Tyler, and I agree completely, not just with the Judge's Administration, the Sheriff's Office. Yeah, we're really blessed here in Parker County, and other areas are not as blessed. with the economic base that provides us with funds to meet our citizens' expectations. And I can tell you, you see competence everywhere when you get a chance to interface with it, and I just really appreciate those comments. But you know, there is no disappointment when all of this effort goes in preparation for an event, and it's many, many hours across all departments, cities, and the county and the state. When events don't become catastrophic, there's no disappointment. That's exactly why you have preparation, and you hope that the actions that you take aren't necessary. Really, a lot of competency, and there's no resting on laurels. There's continuous improvement, effort, always, including today. Thank you for those comments. Any other questions? Mr. Anderson, do you have anything else to say on the flooding? I want to circle back and give you an opportunity.
No, sir. As always, I'm proud of our folks. They answered the call as usual, and I'm very happy to work with a group of people that are like that. They're true professionals.
You really are.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Tom. Staffing, Tom did a great job with the staffing. The Sheriff's Department did too. That's something that's never, you know, it's never quite obvious from the outside looking in. To Justice Tyler's point, pretty much got to stop standard operations, except for law enforcement, catching bad people. But, you know, road work stops, OEM stops, all the plug main work, and everything else that they're working on, and it is an all hands on deck run up to the weather, whatever the event is. And then there's a day or two of unpacking all of that to get back into normal ops. So I appreciate everybody's patience on road work for sure. You know, it takes a day or two to get that back up and running. Road repair. I believe all the road repairs complete.
We may have one or two small things.
Very good. We had, incidentally, we take all the time, all kinds of calls. We had a call, a lady said on, I believe it was Black Ranch Road, that the floods had torn the bridge up, the bridge had fallen apart. And so, gosh, you know, rush out there. It's obviously a you figure there's probably not completely accurate. You get out there, there's a lot of old, you know, threshold of bridge, everything's fine, but you can't take any of those for granted. I mean, somebody says bridge, why not? You got to help. But you never know. We did lose a culvert, shoulders, some potholes, so you got to go regrade all the gravel. But we can count our blessings. Moving right along, standing committee reports. Let's start as usual over Justice Knight.
Thank you, Your Honor. Infrastructure did not meet this month, but we look forward to moving forward with the ordinance regarding road classification once that's the final technical put on that.
Very good. Thank you. Next, we have, of course, Public Safety. Justice Coates.
Your Honor, Courts and Public Safety did not meet this month.
Okay, next, please.
Judge, we met last week and have two ordinances on the agenda for tonight.
Okay, and Justice Kendrick, personnel.
Judge, personnel did not meet this month. Thank you.
Those. Next, we go to on our agenda. We have public comments, standing public comment section. Do we have any comments from the public? Anything on the agenda? Seeing none, we go to special reports, and tonight we're blessed with Cindy Beckman, David Grimes, and who else do we have with us?
The attorney.
All right. And I understand you'd like to address the court. Feel free to address the court this time. I could ask you to stand up to the microphone. I would again introduce Cindy Beckman. She's here speaking on behalf of the museum.
Hi. Can everyone hear? I guess most of you probably heard by this time that we have started a new chapter at the museum. And so I wanted to introduce ourselves to you, myself to you, and the others who are working at the museum these days, to kind of let you know what we're doing and invite you all to come and see. for yourselves what's been done and what we're doing, some of the plans that we've put in place that we're working toward to make it a better museum for all of us in this county. First, let me introduce myself a little bit. I am a 30-year classroom teacher at Conway High School. I taught history and economics and retired about 10 years ago. And since that time, I have done a little 3-year stint at the log cabin. If you read the history columns, yesterday column, the look back column, the look forward column, that was me. And so I did that until COVID. And then got about that time, I got involved with the History Society and the museum. And they asked me to serve on both of those boards. So I began helping with those committees. And I ended up being the liaison for both of them, to between the two, so that we could work together more closely on museum activities and so on. So you're well aware that we have some issues we've had to deal with over the last couple of years. And about a year or so ago, I was looking for something to do, and my mom was looking for something to do. She's 84 years old, and she is the retired business manager from Conway Public Schools. So I caught her doing jigsaw puzzles, and that just wasn't going to do it. So I brought her with me to the museum, and we started volunteering a couple days a week. And then we got more involved, and while I was there over this last year, Miss Ware has given me some really good training on how to run a museum, how to bring in the collections and accession them and that kind of thing. And so I've worked closely with her, and over the last summer I worked with her and went to the coalition meetings with her so that we could work with the other entities that get voluntary tax money. And I will say, most of you have seen it already, but the campaign rolled out this week. Yesterday the video came out, and then we'll be having some graphic images that we'll put out on social media as the year goes on. And we'll have some banners out, and we will have inserts coming out in the tax bills that are coming out right now. So we're doing some things to try to bring in that revenue in greater amounts from the voluntary tax. But the museum is also working on some other things as well. And so I wanted to tell you a little bit more about that. But in order to do that, I'm a teacher, so, you know, here I am with, I have an object lesson, I guess, if you will. This is the Fulton County History Book, and it was done about 1986. And hundreds of people from all over this county contributed articles, artifacts, pictures, and so on. And they put it in this book, and it was a wonderful thing. It brought opportunities for so much community involvement. My grandmother included the article on her grandfather, who was one of the last Civil War veterans in the county. So I come by the history honestly. When she was 77 years old, she started dragging me around to visit her friends that she grew up with, and we ended up doing a history of Pleasant Valley, which is the community we live in, just north of here. So this book came out in 86, and about 6 years later, those same people that did this book came to the Quorum Court to ask if we could start a museum. And that was in 1992, and then a few years later, they came back and asked if we could have the old jail as a place to house this museum. And then a few years later, we came back to the court again and asked for a voluntary tax so that we could help pay for a director. And so we've had some partnerships over the years with the Quorum Court on this museum to create this place where we can bring people, they can bring their kids and their grandkids, and they can learn more about the history of this county. That's been the goal. When they created this museum, people brought in everything. And so if you've been in the museum, you have seen that it was very, very full. So in the last few weeks, we have done something that's probably needed to be done for quite a while. We have been going through and organizing and trying to evaluate and box things and put things in shelves and just make the place a little bit more attractive and orderly. If you've come by, you may have seen us milling about doing those things. It's been some pretty busy days. Just like this book, the wonderful book has lots of stories. There's no index. You can't search. And that's the same thing that is going on at the museum. We have all these wonderful artifacts, but there is no organization. So we're going to need some help with some systems. You know, this has been a baby museum that Ms. Ware helped become a teenage museum, and now it's time for it to become an adult museum. And for those of you in the business world, you know about systems, and we need systems, and we'll probably call upon you to offer your expertise where you can for inventory systems, accounting systems, all kinds of things that we just need to do to make it a better museum. So we'll be asking for help along the way, and hopefully some of you will have an opportunity to come in and assist with those things. That's what we've been working on, is trying to get the place in order a little bit. We've reopened exhibits. Some of the exhibit space had become storage space, and so the storage, the things that needed to go in storage are back in the storage room now, and we will be reopening exhibits. Again, we want this to be an attractive place for people to come, bring their families, and teach their kids and their grandkids and themselves about the history of this county. It is a museum. We do have an archive of some of the county's most important documents. We want them not to just sit on the shelf. We want to be able to bring those out and show those. And so that's what we're working toward. Now, we invite you to come and look, because there are some things that, other things that maybe you could help us address. If you've been in there at all, you've probably seen the state of the building is not as it could be. The floors need some attention. The ceilings need some attention. The rats gave them some attention a while back. And so we need some help with that. But one of the biggest concerns I have is the electrical. To turn on the lights when I go in that building, I have to flip 50 switches. There are extension cords everywhere just to light things up the way they need to be for this museum. So at some point, we want to share with you our plan for what we can do to move toward this modern museum and to get some of these things fixed up so it's a more attractive place and a more modern adult museum. So I would ask you, and David.
I just thought of a couple of things. The judge, as you well are aware, Ms. Ware resigned from the director position about a month ago. We spoke with the judge, and the short-term plan is to not fill that position. So that will alleviate the immediate operational worries we had. We've always had some volunteers, but Cindy and a few others really stepped up. Museum is still open 2 days a week and by appointment. And so for the short term, we will not hire any new staff. And so that will take care of some short-term issues. The judge also suggested that for some of the renovation things that we talked about, that we need the infrastructure committee because of the county building. So if you have a meeting that we could attend and talk about some of these things, the judge suggested that might be a good place to start.
Any questions for Ms. Beckman or Mr. Grimes?
Judge.
Just the last
one. Yes. Councilman Grimes, yes. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Yes. Thank you for the work you do on the museum board. Ms. Cindy, thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm on the board too. I just recently joined.
Yeah, that's great. get her going good. Right. Yeah. Thank y'all for the work you do. The museum is important. This is special to me. You know, I love the museum. I love Faulkner County history. I love what you stand for. I love that you're doing some reorganization. I committed to you during, you know, our budget conversations that I, as one of 13 votes, I believe it's our building. We need to take care of it. You know, so I'll be working with the judge's office And the plan that y'all have to try to come up with what we can do on our end to help with the building situation and everything over there. So, thank you.
George, if I may.
Just Coach.
I actually popped my head in the museum this morning. I was running around and running some errands, and I saw the master gardeners or whoever working in the flower beds, and Lord knows I've got to stay away from the flowers because that's not my forte. So I stuck my head in. I could see a lot of difference from the last time I was in there. I was able to walk through, and just the changes, the ceilings looked a little bit better. And when I got to visiting with the volunteers that were there, there were three people inside. When I got to visiting with them, one of the first things you said was that you were restructuring your fundraising systems. And I really liked hearing that was your first priority, was to see what other, you know, ways of revenue that you could bring in. And that was before we realized that we were going to be here tonight together. So I enjoyed hearing that and seeing that there are some solutions hopefully coming down the pipe for the issues that we've had previously.
Any other comments or questions? I'll have to add, while you're both still up there, Administrator Higgins and I went by and visited today, obviously saw David, but when we first got there, we saw Cindy Beckman. And, Randy and I both, about 10 minutes into that conversation, I think Randy may have said first, I could see a noticeable difference in there. I don't know if they put brighter light bulbs or what, but it's a palpable difference. And Randy and I both felt compelled to tell them that, not just Coach. Yeah. It seems like you saw the same thing, right? And, you know, I have to say, we love Lenita Ware to death. She did a great job, very passionate about it. She received an offer she couldn't turn down. Can't begrudge her for leaving. But we've got to go from here forward, right? As a county museum, when I say we, it's your museum, it's our facility, so I don't want to step on your toes. But it is our facility. And it's probably the most valued historic building that we have, certainly as a government. I don't want to be disrespectful to the courthouse, but the jail and the museum are the oldest of at least those government buildings here in the county. And just wonderful. I shared with Cindy when I walk in there, every time I walk through the door, the first thing I think about is all the hours I spent in there when it was the library. And I pointed out to her where I spent all those hours in that building. And so, like Justice Lahosky said, it's something I have a personal affinity for, and desire to make sure that, hey, this county judge, that facility is not allowed to deteriorate any further. We've got to preserve it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it in my mind. Going from there, you've heard interest from at least two JPs tonight. We'd like to explore. We're interested in hearing your plan on how you raise revenue and have an evergreen plan for funding that. You heard me mention before, volunteer tax, perfect form of democracy because the public votes on how much to spend on that facility. And I think it is incumbent upon all of us, maybe not the Quorum Court as a specific body, but anybody in this room who's agreed to serve the public. It's probably all incumbent upon all of us that we help facilitate that process. You know, and tell your family and friends, hey, why don't you check that volunteer tax box? I mean, look at the taxes you're paying. You know, most people can't afford to do that. And I think it's incumbent upon all of us to help them to understand just how important that is. It's not some nameless, faithless operation that doesn't really need that money. It's not. That's their funding. That's the museum's funding. And very few of us have people in our lives who were not benefited by that museum, either as a museum or when it was the library. And all of us who are here in Faulkner County have a tie to our heritage. I would challenge each one of you, including those on live stream, go to that museum. You're open when? Right now in the interim?
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
And how much are you making for doing that? Nothing. You're volunteering your time. Go by there. You won't get 10 feet in before you have to stop and start looking at what's on display in there. It is really a good time. It is really enjoyable. And I don't care what your interests are, whether it's pieces of the courthouse or the alley behind the emergency squad, the part of the emergency squad building sits on now. We saw that flat. Randy spotted that right off. Like a bird on a, like a dog on a bird. I mean, he was pointed at. I hope I'm doing a good enough job of describing to you how much fun you will have if you go in the building. And Conway's governor, George Donahue, if you get Cindy started off on that, she can tell you more. She's just a wealth of knowledge. And I would just encourage you to take some time to go by there. If you're able to, certainly go by there on Tuesday or Thursday right now. Yes?
Judge, may I make a comment, too? Absolutely. Also, we haven't mentioned the value as a tourist location. I know lots of people who come through town and go there or go to other towns and go to their museums just to see them or to do research, which you can also do at the library. So it could be a nice pull for tourism.
Awesome. And of course, Gene Hatfield pieces on display there, watercolor and ink. And
we have a cabinet built by Governor Don.
Do you really? Okay. Awesome. And I can't get away from that place. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Admission's free. Donation acceptance. It's a great place to bring kids. Now, end on this. The front part, the old jail, was built in 1896. And we actually have records, jail intake records from the period. You want to see if any of your ancestors ever been part of
it. President Kevley, that's right. One last tidbit, Cindy. Did you point out one of the walls and what's particular about one of the walls today?
Yes.
Go ahead, if you would.
Ms. Bree Walker, who's one of our volunteers, she's a retired chemist, by the way. She has been doing some research for a criminology class that came last Saturday. About 45 students from UCA, and they got the tour of all the jail and the justice building, and they came to the old jail, and she shared with them that the jail, which was upstairs, there were two cages, had been breached on all walls at one point or the other. People in the jail that broke out, dug holes through the walls to escape. There's only one wall. That was the wall on the east. It had not been breached at some point or the other as people tried to escape.
So, not sure what it was about that wall. It was that wall to break up jail.
Is there any way of making that jail cell operational?
The upstairs is a huge ball of training squad. We're running the kids to squat for that. We have a lot of railroad clubs that run it. Unfortunately not.
Really impressed. Watkins will be over here before you know it. He'll be over there. Also, I draw attention to these nice ornaments. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For bringing those.
I wanted you to remember us and come see us.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your time.
Thank you for coming again. Moving along the whole business. Is there any old business come here before today? Seeing none, new business. We have two items. You'll turn to tab number 3, proposed ordinance 25-11. It's an appropriation ordinance. Looks to be. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion for the approval of 25-11.
Second.
Motion and second.
Proposed ordinance 25-11, sponsored by Budget and Finance Committee, meeting next by the Fort County Fulton State of Arkansas. Ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Fulton County Ordinance 2452.
Yeah, thank you, Judge. Court, sections 1 through 7 are all ARPA cleanup. Tom can speak more to that. And then section 8 is just a transfer within County Road due to being a shortage on emergency pay. Thank you, Judge.
Very good. We have a motion, second, and reading and an explanation. Any questions or comments? Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Hendricks.
Yes.
Nye.
Yes.
Kalowski.
Yes.
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 Pearson.
Yes.
Shaw.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Pollard.
Yes.
Dorgie.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries, ordinance passes. Next, we have tab number 4. This is going to be amended proposed ordinance 25-04. It's appropriation ordinance. What do you include?
Judge, motion for the passage of 25-04, amended.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and second.
Amended proposed ordinance 25-04 being enacted by the Corn Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, and the ordinance being titled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 24-52, dated November 20th, 2024, and to declare an emergency.
Okay, Justice.
Thank you, Judge. Yes, sir. Justice, this is, like I said, this is back, goes back to proposed ordinance, to ordinance 25-04. This is just an amendment to that ordinance, really the amendment. If you see the line of all the amounts listed here, those are all correct. What the amendment is the top of the line number, that 130,000 number. Whatever that number used to be was off a little bit due to math. So this really just rectifies the two together. Like I said, that all that line of numbers that you see, they're all the same as we passed in the previous ordinance. It's just that top of the line number changes to make the math. Thank you, Judge.
Very good. Thank you for the explanation. Is there any discussion, questions, or comments? Seeing none, we have a roll call vote.
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes.
Yes. Hendricks.
Yes.
Nye.
Yes.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Pollard.
Yes.
Dorgie.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. The ordinance passes. Moving next, we have appointments. We don't have any appointments this month. Announcements. We did have one announcement. Mary Beth Gross, one of our executive agents here, was here earlier today, but she had to go attend to a family matter. And she left us a handout, wanted us to be aware that the annual Faulkner County Master Gardener sale is coming up. It'll be on May 10th at the Conway Expo Center from 8 to 1:30. Now, raise your hand if you've ever been to that sale. I have, and goodness, it's a nice sale. There is a lot for sale there. It's great to just make a pass through. I challenge that if you do that, it's difficult to make it through there without buying something. But even if you weren't going to buy anything, it's really, really a good time at the Expo. So I encourage you to go support them and all their hard work and probably get some good deals on some things. All right, any other announcements? I'm not aware of any. Okay, now we'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
We're dismissed. Adjourn.